Today is Saturday, the 27th of April 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 130th session for Mindfulness for Beginners in the English medium, conducted by Nisan One Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Sister Rohini Manu participating in today's session as the primary advisor during session. And I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Manu into today's session on behalf of all of us joining through Zoom and the Facebook live stream. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream. Our program will commence with the usual format where we start with the in-session practice guided by Venerable Manu, and then we proceed on to the talk on mindfulness, and then we move on to the question and answer session where we present written reports and any verbal questions or verbal reports from the participants. After that, we will wrap up the program. So, to commence the in-session practice, I would like to invite Venerable Manu to start off. Much merits to Manu. Thank you.
Thank you, Navante. I think today we are going to practice sitting meditation or sitting one. So, I hope everyone like to sit comfortably and keep your hands in a comfortable way and close your eyes. So today what we are going to do is we are trying to observe the feelings, bodily feelings or the breath, and in the meantime whatever happened inside your mind, whatever the thoughts are coming, what you need to do is you need to identify them. Identify your thoughts. What kind of thought now, right now I am having? What kind of, is it a negative one or positive one? Is it a beneficial one or meaningful one, or there's no any meaning at all? Or the meaning is making you unhappy. So those are the things we are going to observe. Basically, while you are sitting, you can observe the breath or the posture. Whatever you are observing before, normally, if it is the breath, just observe the breath. If it is the posture, you can observe the posture. While you are observing this, whenever the thoughts come, you need to try to understand, or you need to identify those thoughts. The thoughts, if you recognize it, what kind of thoughts are there? Whether it is a positive one or negative one, or beneficial one, or meaningful one or meaningless one. So these are the thing we are going to observe right now. So we'll do for 15 minutes or so this observation. Okay, everyone. I hope everybody had a good sitting session. So we can discuss if there is any experiences. We can discuss later. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you, and much thanks to Manu. Yes, it was a very calming experience. Next, we will move on to the topic for today, which is based on the Pareto principle. And I would like to invite Venerable Manu to commence with the talk for today on behalf of all of us. Over to Manu again. Much merits.
Yeah, thank you, Namantha. Yeah, so when I heard that, how do you call Pareto principle. So 80% of the results come from 20% of the causes. A few things are important, most are not. This is our topic. So we are going to then discuss about this 80-20 rule and how it affects our mindfulness practice. So I thought to discuss about that. Yeah, when we talk about 80-20 rule, it is known as Pareto principle. It says that 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. It is not a rule, it's a rule, but it is not a law. So it can be changed, but normally 8% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. This has a very deep meaning considered into karma. Going to discuss about the karma, there are a lot of things to discuss. But we are not going to discuss about the karma and the 80-20 principle. But instead, we are going to discuss about the 80-20 principle and the mindfulness practice. Pareto rules, actually founder is the Italian economist. His name is Wilfredo Pareto. In 19th century, he was in the garden and he noticed that something has happened, sorry. He noticed that he noticed some kind of P experiment. He noticed that the small number of pea pods produce lots of peas. So when he noticed that, he wanted to check and he wanted to apply that to the wealth condition in Italy. So then he realized the 20% of people earn the 80% of wealth. So then that came as a rule. So 80-20 rule comes like that. Usually they use it for economy and some other things. But in here, what we are going to discuss is how it apply for us. How it apply for us. But one other thing I need to tell or mention here, it is, as I said, it is not a law, but it can vary. It is not hard and fast rule. 80% is producing from 20%. It is not the law, but and the other thing is, when we think that 80% is produced by 20, that doesn't mean that the 80% is ignored, that we can ignore that 80%. It is not the meaning of here. What is the meaning is, we need to find the 20% which produce the 80%. Then we need to nourish the 20%. Otherwise, people will think that, okay, if we put their 20% effort, we can earn the 80%. It is not the meaning in 80-20 rule. So when we talk about the 80-20 rule and the mindfulness, there's a psychologist called Rick Hansen. He said 80% of our thoughts are negative. That is something important for us. And we all know, that's why I said we can observe our thoughts while we are practicing this 15 minutes. That's why I ask you all to observe the thoughts also. So, and in my experience, and most of you maybe experience these things, the most of the time our thoughts are negative. Most of the time it is true. Because we like to entertain our negative thoughts mostly. We like to go with negative thoughts. If there is any kind of sadness is there, we like to think about it. We like to think more and more about it. Among quite a few good things are there, but usually we like to hold the bad thing, or we like to hold the sadness, and we like to reproduce it again and again, and thinking that pattern is normal. So in here, the psychologist Rick Hansen also mentioned the same thing. So most of you might experience these things. And the what is next I want to say, that's negative things. Whatever the negative thought comes, we like to ruminating. Ruminate means we like to, you know, like the cows. They eat for 1 hour, 2 hours, they eat and then sit somewhere. And then they like to eat again whatever that they ate, take it back to the mouth and eat. So we call it ruminating. So we also like to ruminate with the thoughts, especially with the sad thoughts or the bad thoughts or the negative thoughts. So about worries, about fears, about insecurities. So I think you all know those. And the problem is those thoughts lead to stress, anxiety, and the productivity. If we talk about a company or the workplace, the productivity is also affected with those. And the health-wise is also, it is not good. And other thing is this negative thoughts can trigger the stress response in the body. The hormone stress. Hormones will produce more and more when we are stressed. When we are having negative thoughts, the stress response hormones will produce more and more. That is not good also. That is also harmful. So, and the other thing is the cortisol. Actually, the stress triggering hormones are the cortisol and the other hormones. So, those are the one triggering. The other thing is we put attention. We pay more attention to the negative experiences. Not only the thoughts, also the experiences. The thoughts related to experience make feelings, the emotions. So those are also, we tend to pay attention. We tend to pay more and more attention to those negative experiences. But we all know by being mindful, living in the present moment, in this very moment, we know we can be aware of our thoughts and emotions. If we are mindful, we can grab them. We can water those negative or positive thoughts. So that means if we are mindful, we can manage those thoughts. So if we can manage those thoughts, we have some kind of authority if we are mindful only. And the other thing is, if we can give a full attention or full attention to the job what we are doing, rather than trying to juggle with multiple tasks. So only the one thing at a time and that done well. So if we can do that, then our productivity is also increased. At the same time, our stress is released. And one other thing is you might heard of negative bias. That is a psychological thing. So if we have negative thoughts more and more frequently, so we have that negative bias. So that negative bias usually leads the imbalanced outlook in our life. The outlook is not balanced. Usually when we have more and more negative bias or negative feelings or negative thoughts, if we encourage those negative thoughts or feelings more and more, then our usual life ratio in life, negative and positive, is imbalanced. It doesn't look a good outlook. It doesn't give any good outlook. So to break this negativity, it is important. This breaking this negativity is important, means it's a health wise it is important, and productivity wise it is important, and the mental health wise it is important, mental and bodily health. So all those helpful things related to positive thoughts, we need to improve. We need to encourage those positive thoughts to come more and more, rather than that 80% of negative thoughts. So mindfulness can help this. How? It can recognize when we twisting or when we spiraling the negative thinking. So if we are mindful, the mindfulness can help us to identify them, the recognize them, and then that by recognizing, we can gently redirect or be gently replace with positive vibe or positive thoughts. That is one thing we can do by doing mindfulness practice. So I said that according to that psychologist, he said 80% of our thoughts are negative thoughts. So that means the 20% of our thoughts are positive thoughts. So then what does we need to do? We need to increase, or we need to come to certain balance by increasing those positive thoughts. Or that 20% of positive thoughts we need to embrace. We need to recognize them, and we need to use them as a guideline or guide to our life. Then only we can replace that 80% of negative thoughts. So this mindfulness practice. So while we are doing mindfulness practice, also that negative thoughts will affect us. How? When we are sit and when we are observing the breath, or when we are walking, observing the feet, the negative thoughts come again and again. Actually, it's like a bombarding. It comes non-stop. It comes and go, comes and go, comes and go. All are negative thoughts. Either thinking, okay, how can I do this? Why my mind is not keeping in a given object? It's always roaming around. All those thoughts are negative thoughts. And even within that 5 minutes or 15 minutes, even though you can observe breath or the posture or the walking feet, for a 5 minutes or so, you just ignore that and just remembering and complaining within inside you, actually, not complaining with someone else. You are complaining to yourself by saying, okay, by thinking, okay, my mind is going away. My mind is going out all the time with the thoughts or with the pain or with the sound, like that. Likewise. We are not happy. We are not happy about the mindful, that simple little time. If we can focus on that little time and be happy, the mind recognize that happiness and it come back soon. It come back again. So that 20% happiness or 20% positive thoughts, you need to use in the even in the mindfulness practice. If we are walking, if we are practicing mindful walk, mind drift away from the with the sounds. Sometimes mind drift away with the sights, whatever we see. So whenever it went or whenever it goes, if we can just ignore, okay, it went, now it's come back. So now I don't need to worry. So if we can think in that way, that is a positive thinking. That is not the negative one. So it, the going out is negative, but we are not thinking about it. Instead, we are glad about the coming back. So that is a positive thinking. So if we can do that in a practice, whenever we do that, the mind automatically come back soon to the object what we are going, what we are given. So object is maybe the up, left and right foot while we are walking, or the breath, in breath and out breath. That is the given object, but usually mind drift away from those objects. If we are mindful and if we are not blaming or we are not frustrated about that, then the mind will come again, come back to the object again easily. Whenever we use that 80% of negative thoughts, so if we think about, okay, this is only happening to me, or I couldn't do this even yesterday, I couldn't do, and I don't know how to do this, and you know, all those things happen, all those things comes as a negative thought, that will drift away again and again your mind from the mindful object. So by identifying these positive thoughts, so if someone can identify the positive thought, okay, yeah, my mind went away, my mind drift away from my object, the main object, the primary object, it doesn't matter. If you can find that positive thoughts, okay, if someone is thinking, okay, it's okay, now I am on the object, so now I can observe the object thoroughly. So likewise, if we can understand the positive thoughts, or if we can recognize the positive thoughts, then we can focus on again and again about the about those positive thoughts. So it means if we focus on the positive thoughts more and more, then we can shift the balance. So before it was 80-20. Now we can, if we focus on the 20% of positive thoughts, then we can balance that positive and negative in a way, in a healthy way. That there is a Red Indian story about Red Wolf and Blue Wolf. Maybe you can Google it and see. So that the grandfather was telling that story to grandson. He said, the Red Wolf is the positive one, the good one. Blue Wolf is the negative one, the all the bad things he does. So then the grandchild asks, how can we get bigger and bigger Red Wolf? How can we feed to Red Wolf to get it bigger? So then the grandson think that giving more attention to the Blue Wolf, that means the negative thoughts, and then the Blue Wolf will not grow, but the father said, "No, you need to observe the red bull, red wolf, and you need to feed the red wolf, ignoring the blue wolf. Then red wolf will grow and grow and grow." So it is similar here. If we can give more attention to the 20% of positive thinking or positive thoughts or positive emotions, then we can get some kind of balance. So to do that, we need to identify, we need to be mindful to identify those 80% and 20%. What is, what we are entertaining, whether the 80% of negative thinking or the positive 20% of positive thinking. So this is what we need to, so for that we need to be mindful. So how we practice the 80-20 rule and mindfulness practice, it's how it relate and how we do practice in our usual experiences. We need to focus on quality thoughts, reducing mental clutter. How do we need to reduce mental clutter? So we need to focus on the object, the given object. So when we focus on to the given object, the negative thoughts will come as well as the positive thought will come. Whatever the come, if we can be mindful, just without any judgment, if we can look at it without any judgment, then the 80% of mind negative and the 20% of positive are equal. If you are mindful and not judgmentally looking at your thoughts, just be an observer, that means there is no negativity or positivity. So that is the important thing, or that is the most relevant thing for mindfulness practitioners. So in day-to-day life, you can observe the negative thoughts and get rid of them. You might try to get rid of them. It is the good thing. And you can nourish the positive things, or the positive thinking. Of course, yes. And then when you are sit for mindfulness practice, or when you are walking meditation or the mindful walk, in the beginning, yes, you need to encourage that 20% of positive thinking. Yes. You need to encourage it. You need to not to encourage that 80% of negative thinking. In the beginning, yes. But when you gradually, when you practice more and more gradually, you become a good practitioner, that you are very good at mindful practice, then at one point you can observe those 80% of negative thoughts and the 20% of positive thoughts in an equal way, without any judgment. That is the mindfulness awareness, the enhancing mindfulness awareness is there. Because that leaving space for clarity and focus. There's the sampajana is there. Because you are very mindful, you can pay equal attention to the negative thinking and the positive thinking. In that sense, we don't bother and we don't care about the 80-20 rules. But in the beginning, yes, we need to care about the 80-20 rule and we need to practice accordingly. In the day-to-day life also, we need to do that. But the practitioner, when you are practice more and more, when you have that experience more and more, then you can be mindful about thoughts and feelings or the emotional feelings without any judgment. Even for the physical feelings, also you can put your effort, or you can put your right mindfulness to aware that the everything is as equal. One other thing is in day-to-day activities to keep that 80% away. So I was talk about the mindfulness practicing time. Now I am going to talk about the day-to-day life. When you in the day-to-day life, if you can keep away for that 80% of negative thoughts, then there are many ways. One is you can put a diary. You can write down your experience. How is your thoughts or emotions vary from morning to the in the afternoon. In between, how it's vary, how it's changed. You can write down. And the second thing is you can simplify your environment. You know, if you have a cluttered environment, and then your feelings are cluttering also, because you need to clean them and you need to keep it in a tidy way, and all sort of things you come to your mind with the negative thinking. So if you can keep a simple environment, that helps you to keep that 20% increasing, or 20%, you can put that 20% into your life, avoiding that 80% of negative thinking. And that the other thing is prioritize your task. That, for example, if the time is for your mindfulness practice, but someone is call you, or someone ring your phone and want to talk. So you need to prioritize. Okay, do I need to answer that phone call or keep my practice? So likewise, you need to prioritize your work. And then you need to understand the urgent and the important. So what is important and what is urgent? So if you are in a balance of those two, then you can have that 20%. You can increase that 20%, or you can manage that 20%. And the other thing is, while you are doing practice, that negative thoughts or the positive thoughts, if you can look at them as a similar one, as a without any judgment, even a good practitioner can do that in the day-to-day life also, without judgment, if you can look at them, without grudges, if you can keep them, without any loopholes, if you can let them go, then it is good. Then you can keep your 20% in present, or if you can manage that 20%, and you can deal with the 80%. And the other thing is, if you're trying to push your negative thoughts, that will come like a very, very angry tiger. Whenever you try to push away your negative feelings or negative thoughts, it comes very harsh way. So it is so much of giving pain when you're trying to put them away. Instead, if you can watch them, if you can look at them without any bias, without any judgment, that is the best thing to do. And one other thing is, you can put mindful notes. So that is what we are keeping, like a reports. So even though you are not producing to the teacher or the whoever guiding you, you can keep the reports to yourself. But writing is so important. If you can write, whenever you write, so that the negativity is getting drawback. So writing the notes or the clues are very good. And sometimes if you can put clues in your, for example, if you have a notification in your phone, or a sticky note in your computer, or regular signals from your phone or something to remind you, okay, this is mindfulness time, or this is the time for mindfulness practice. This is the time for having a mindful breath. Even in the workplace, every 1 hour or so, every 2 hours or so, you can put a note in your desktop, write a note, okay, every 2 hours you need to be mindful, not so long, for 12 minutes or so, to the mindful. So that is encouraging, actually, that embracing the mindfulness practice. So by doing that, you can improve the 80-20 percentage, 80-20 ratio. And not only that, while you are doing dishwashing and walking, or even listening to a neighbor or listening to a phone call, you can be a very mindful person. By doing that, especially when you are listening to someone else, if you can be mindful, that is a very good, very healthy way of keeping the 80-20. And the other last one, other last thing I want to tell you is cultivate the gratitude. How you practice the gratitude. So every day in the morning or in the afternoon, you can think what I did. Three things. So we said those to children. Okay, children, whatever you do as a good thing, so you can write down or you can tell us. So in the same way, we can practice the same thing. If we have done something good, then we can remember it, and we can think about it in the evening or in the early in the morning or whatever it is, whatever the time. And the other thing is, you can appreciate good things. When some other people do some good things, you can appreciate, even though that person may be a not good friend. But if you can appreciate, that encourage your positive thoughts. That is a very good nutrition for the positive thoughts. And if you need to have that regular time, consistent with those things, the gratefulness or the mindfulness practice, or you know, like it is, it should be in a consistent way. So those are the one I can think of saying. How do you practice your gratitude or the gratification with the mindfulness? One last thing is, if you can gratitude, if you can feel the sensation of your body with the happiness. The most of the time, we whatever the sensation, when it is the bad one, okay, we are very bad, and then when we are sad and we are suffering, of course, yes. But at least when we are practicing mindfulness, sitting or walking, so if we can ignore those pain or anything, or the feelings coming through your body, if you can pay same attention, if you can look at the feelings without any grudge or any negative thoughts with the pain, so you can put that 80-20 in a good place. So you can manage that 80-20 in a good manner. So those are the things I wanted to tell about this topic and the mindfulness practice. So in summary, what you need to do, what we need to identify, what are the negative thoughts usually comes to my mind. And by identifying it is, we can understand who I am. And then you can understand that 20% of positive thoughts, what are those 20%? And then what we need to do day-to-day active, while we are in day-to-day life, we can neutralize, or we can improve that 20% of positive thing. And then subsequently, the negative things will get kind of balance. And the other things, while we are practicing mindfulness, we need to, first of all, in the beginning, we need to encourage the positive think or positive thoughts about the object, or the when our mind drift away, those positive thinking we need to appreciate. But when you get more and more practice, when you are able to look at your thoughts without any bias, without any judgment, this is the best thing is to look at those thoughts, either negative or positive, in an unbiased way, in a non-judgmental way. Then that your mindfulness is increasing, or your awareness is increasing. So those are the things I wanted to talk about this or on this topic. Thank you everyone for listening. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Manu, for that insightful advice based on the Pareto principle. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Anupama to commence with the question and answer session. I would share the screen for the introduction to beginners as usual. Over to you, Anupama. Thank you.
Thank you, Namantha. Hope you can hear me well.
Yes.
Yes. Much gratitude to Venerable Manu for that very, very insightful talk with practical tips on how to develop our mindfulness. I'm sure you all must have found it useful and taken tips with you to further enhance your practice. As per usual, we are now going to go through the guide for mindfulness for everyone. Most of you must be familiar with this, but for those who are not, this is a little guide which Namantha has also shared in the chat box as well. Our advice is for those who are beginning, please watch some basic instruction videos on mindful walking and sitting. So you can understand how to commence this process. You can see the link to Mindful Walking for sitting shared on the screen and in the chat box. Once you have done this, you can allocate a small time daily to start practicing mindfulness, both in walking and sitting, and continue this for a few days until you have completed a total of 2 hours of each practice in total. Following this, we would encourage you to write down your experience in the form of a reflection report. You can either present this as statements or questions, and you can write it under headings such as mindful walking, mindful sitting, and even everyday, day-to-day mindfulness in our day-to-day life. In the reports, we would encourage you to describe what you feel while you're walking and sitting, and the sensations you've experienced, the posture, and the texture, for example, of the ground you're walking, and pressure points on the soles and the body, how the weight shifts, etc. Especially when you're walking, the shifting of the legs and so on. Once you've written this report, please do forward it to us either through the Google form on the screen or via email, which is also available on the screen and in the chat box. And we would encourage you to continue your mindfulness practice as you go. And when you share your reports and it's read and discussed, it just helps everyone in furthering their journey of mindfulness. Thank you. So that's the summary of the guidance. I will now move on to the mindfulness report. We've received one report from an adult, and I shall begin reading that now. Mindful walking. Walk to the station on the way to work. Pace was faster at the beginning, which slowed down after a while. Noted feet movements, shifting of weight, cool air on face. noted how the immediate surrounding seemed to move with the body too, although it is the optical illusion while walking. This was noted during other walks too, and realized mentioning it only now. Attention alternated between feet movement, quicker breathing, and body weight shifting. Walked for 20 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on low stool and adjusted the position. Breath noticed around the nostril area, which soon became sake. No sounds heard, although light ringing sound in the ears noticed. Wave of coolness moved through the body. Breath noticed again, although light. Thoughts appeared and disappeared, futile, as if in the background. Subtle breath noted at intervals. Familiar calmness experienced. Sleepiness arose and passed. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. The boundary between formal practice and daily mindfulness seemed to slowly disappear. What is noted in formal practice and what is noted while attending to various other tasks during the day seem to merge at times. This is a bit hard to explain. There are more times when noticing the attention being with the task at hand. Attention also naturally moves to the internal landscape than being involved with the external world. Another observation is being less affected by emotions of those around, be they family, colleagues, clients, or friends. There was a time when interacting with those showing anger, arousing anger in the mind, or when sadness or depressed feelings were shown, mind being drawn to or influenced by it. Now, even if mind is fleetingly affected by others' emotions, it recovers into a state of calmness quicker. There is more attention, whether it is while listening to Dhamma talks, listening to a stressed client, or interacting with a family member. During various peak events in the past month, the mind was fleetingly affected by irritation, feeling of unfairness, wondering why they would act in those unhealthy ways, but soon had the calmness returned. The default contemplations in the mind about events are more realistic now. Firstly, don't know why they do it or why it happened, comes up. Secondly, recognizes there are so many causes and conditions coming together before an event emerges. This is also what happens when watching the breath. When mind is calm, it is harder to notice the breath. But now the body is, but knows the body is breathing. Causes and conditions change in the formal practice, so it can be seen in daily mindfulness as well. Dear Venerable Manuel, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. Teruvan Sar. End of our report for today.
Yeah.
It's a good report, actually. Well written report. It's included all the pros and cons, as well as the practice, walking, sitting, and the day-to-day activities, and the thoughts and everything is there. So it's a good one. But as a whole, it shows the how mind work. So according to our topic today, so the 80-20 is applying that report also. There are times that your thoughts are either with the stress or depressed or the sad thoughts. And there are times you are, although there are some thoughts are there, the negative thoughts are there, but the calmness come quickly because you are a practitioner. If you just imagine, even if someone is not practicing, if you are not familiar with the practice, mindfulness practice, then what will happen to with that negative thoughts? When the depressed or the sad feelings comes, so we like to, the ruminating, or we like to do or think about it again and again, and in the deep sad situation. But in here, the report says no, it come back to the calmness very quickly. So that is the mindful practitioner. That is the very good example of mindful practitioner. Whether you are in a sitting practicing, or the walking practice, or the day to day, or just without doing any purposeful mindfulness practice, but in a day to day life, also the same thing happen when you are doing that practice. When you are being a very good practitioner, a regular practitioner, that is what happening. There's no 80-20 for you. There is no any ratio for you, because you can look at any thoughts. There are thoughts. No one can have the all positive thoughts. No one get the negative thoughts only, but there are a combination of thoughts. When you can look at those combination in an equal way, the calmness is there. Always calmness is there. Whatever happen around you, the calmness is inbuilt with you. When we born, we have that calmness. We have that mindfulness. Those are inbuilt with this body and the mind. So when after we practice more and more, we realize it. There's no 80-20 for us. There's no 80-20 for mindfulness practitioner. That is what actually Arahat means. No 80-20 for him. Because everything is equal. So it is, this report is very nice for the actually this topic. It is goes with the topic. That shows how the mindfulness practitioner deal with the negative and the positive, and how the mindfulness practitioner deal with the sitting practice with the 80-20. And it's a very good example of report. Thank you for submitting it. And please do the same, and do practice regularly and more, and produce more and more reports for others to know, and for us to be happy.
Thank you, Venerable Mandu. So that is the conclusion of the report reading. It's now, the session is now open for any questions that anyone might have. If you can kindly raise your Zoom hand, we will invite you to unmute yourself and ask your question, please. Don't think we have any questions for now. Namante, any comments or last minute, even comments that anyone might have?
You know, Anupama, last week they said they were being a lazy, because our topic was laziness. So, I think today they were in an 80-20 mood.
Actually, Venerable Manu, I found it interesting. My impression was when you mindfully observe your positive, negative, and neutral thoughts, my impression was you have to attempt to look at it non-judgmentally as much as you can. But you mentioned that that stage will develop eventually, that you would encourage first to encourage the positive thoughts to prevail more and less rumination with the negative. And then a gradual transition will happen towards feeling non-judgmental towards all forms of that.
Yes, yes, that is the way. But yeah,
I find that helpful.
Yeah, please.
Because it's about keeping our expectations realistic as well, isn't it? With the progression of mindfulness. So sometimes we may get frustrated with not being able to be non-judgmental, but I now understand there's like a stepwise approach.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
It is come with the wisdom. When you do mindfulness practice, you develop the wisdom. Parallel wisdom is developing parallel to the mindfulness. That wisdom make you to understand, and that wisdom make you to keep your mind in non-judgmental way.
That makes sense. Actually, thank you. Anyway, I think that may be it for now. Naman has his hand raised. You can unmute yourself.
Thank you. I just want to share some experience I was observing. Usually I try to observe only, and with this I find that if I feel tired or depressed, or if it is a gloomy day, then I might feel a bit depressed. Then it happens that I go on feeling depressed, but I know I am depressed, but I don't do anything about it. And then today I thought, okay, I was feeling not so well today as well, like physically. And then I felt, okay, instead of just being letting myself to be depressed, I should do something about it. Then I started moving around and gradually lightened up my mood a bit consciously. So, but I don't think I was completely non-judgmental. And there was a observation and there was some action, but I think the level of non-judgmentality was low. I think the idea would be to keep it at a low level rather than let it go through the roof, sort of thing. Because to be perfectly non-judgmental will mean you remain in the same state. If you are depressed, you remain depressed without taking any action. I think there's something to do with the wisdom here, where when will wisdom take over? So you can take action through wisdom while being slightly judgmental instead of being majorly judgmental. That was my sharp observation in today's experience.
I think you are right. I mean, Amanda, that is true. But I want to add this thing. I know this is a secular program, but I like to mention this one. Buddha said in Salleka Sutta, actually, the Buddha said, when you have that, you know, we have the depression word. Before, we don't have that word. We didn't have that word. So depression, we know, okay, when your mind is like this, okay, it is depression. So we have that, analysis or names and categories are there. So we know, and whenever we have that kind of negative thoughts, we put that depression word. That is also a negative thing. You know, we don't need to put that word in there. So, okay, so right now I am get bored. I am not bored. I am not in a happy mood. So how about if we can replace those words? Because that words containing a meaning, that particular meaning is so bothering us. So much of bothered wording. So if we can replace that words with, you know, like, okay, so right now I don't feel to do anything. So I just write to sit down somewhere and be quiet or something. So we can put a depression in there, or we can put, okay, I am bored, so maybe I can do something else. Or like just I can observe what I am feeling right now. So you every time, every split second, you have three options. One is the accept it. Accept it with the good wording. You know, that word behind that word is so bad. You can you understand what I'm saying? That when you say that depressed, Okay, it's not the real deepness, maybe, because when we feel like that, we put that name. We name it, we label it, that behind that label, there's a very bad thoughts or very negative thoughts coming behind it. That make you more depressed. So instead, if we can replace that word with something positive, Buddha once said, you know, like when you do meditation, when you do practice, you get bored, actually. That boredom feeling, that is the viraga, actually. When you move away from the entertaining mindset, you have that bored mindset. So Buddha said, don't say it is a boredom. Just accept it as a priti or pasaddi, the lightness or the happiness. Just put another name, Buddha said. So that naming is also influential to our emotional feelings. So one thing I just wanted to add, your observation is very good, Namanta, it is real. But just try to put a good wording when you think about it, when you are in that situation, you are already in that situation, when you put that positive word, that lift up your mindset. Just try it, and if it work, please let us know.
Okay, Manu. So Manu is suggesting that the word depressed is not a good word to describe the circumstances. Maybe use more positive language, because the word depressed might mean whole wide range of circumstances rather than just a pinpointed, narrowed down or specific state of mind.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yes, it is not really, it is not depressed actually. It is just a boredom. Depressed is such a big word, and it has a lot of things behind it.
Okay.
But yeah, just put a pleasant word. Okay, right now I don't feel to do anything. Okay, maybe I can do something else. Just observe it. That vibe gives you some kind of lifted mind.
Yes, okay. Okay, that is very, very clear advice. Much merits, Manu. Thank you. Yes, thank you. No.
Thank you, Manu. Actually, that is very interesting. I think what I understand is sometimes by categorizing, we bring a negative connotation to something. So it comes with a lot of baggage, emotional baggage, and that can drag you down instantly. It's almost like when mentioning the word depressing it depresses you. I don't know whether you like get what I'm trying to say. Yes. So rather than categorize it, you look at it as emotions on a spectrum. And you're somewhere along that spectrum.
Yeah.
Good, thank you. Right, we have Panchini, who has her hand up. If you can unmute yourself to ask the question, please.
Venerable Manuel, I just wanted to pass on my comments on, with my practice. I also have Namantha's don't want to say problem, but issue, where I go through long states of inaction when I'm
That's
not
a
working.
Good thing. That's a good thing. You change your word. That's a good thing.
Yeah, because I work 5 days a week, but on the days that I'm off, I tend to just sit and just observe my numb thoughts and just delight in it. I wouldn't, like Namantha, I probably wouldn't associate it with depression. I know I delight in it for a long periods of time, just doing nothing but observing my numb thoughts. But I do find that housework is not getting done. I'm not doing as much. Before, I used to be such organized, methodical person, but now lots of things, even my schoolwork, I'm not getting done as much. which does bother me to some extent because I am not doing as much as before.
You know, we sometimes you finish.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, you know, sometimes we need to have that kind of rest. Don't you think so? We are working like a robot. We are working like a machine. Not in a single split second, we are having rest. The mind is always working and working and working. It never stops. So that is why we are practicing mindfulness. Okay. And the body, usually as a worker, working woman or working man, whenever we have a sick leave, just imagine you are having sick leave or even a holiday leave. But when you have sick leave, you are at home as soon as when the Panadol or the paracetamol or whatever the do that thing. So whenever you are out of pain, you tend to do work. At least you are cleaning dishes or whatever you do something. So that is what we are used to. But in a time to time, we need to have that rest. The bodily rest and the mind rest. So when you are mindful, then you are giving that kind of rest to your mind. So that mind get it very nicely and gives you that viraga. That is, that you are not how do you call, craving or clinging to anything. So you feel like it's bored. You put a name, depressed for that. You put a name, okay, I can't feel to do anything. That is a gift. If when you feel that you can't do anything or you don't want to do anything, for me, it is a gift. Once in a while, you get it. So accept it and be quiet somewhere and just observe it. Ape Loku Swaminansa, he always says, the Nivana comes to you, but you always say, no, not now. Come tomorrow. We postpone all the time. I don't know, Panchani, I don't know whether I answer to your question or not.
That's yes, ma'am, your answer is correct. I understand that's what I need to do, but in a lay life, Panyo, with all the money-making things, although there's no point of making it, we still have to do it. And with that, you have a certain amount of responsibilities. The lesson planning needs to be done, but I find myself really not motivated to do that anymore, which is not good for the kids. You know, you need to do it for them. You need to balance that samuti and paramatta. I don't know what the English term is, which I'm not doing very well at the moment.
Is there any complaint from family?
Not from family, no.
So don't worry. Don't worry. It's all in your head. All in your mind.
Yeah.
So we usually Sri Lankan ladies, they like to keep that think that, okay, this is my responsibility. I need to do this. I should do this. So those are concept in our mind. So we need to get rid of those concepts. The reality is not the concept. Reality is quite different. So yeah, you can, we all can put, you know, okay, I also as a nun, I can put many, many concepts. Okay, I should do like this, I should be like this, and you know, I need to go do this, I need to go there, and you know, a lot of things. No, I'm not doing that because I have priorities. My priorities, something different to maybe a lay person, but we need to have the priority and the, before I said urgent and the important. So as a Sri Lankan women, is Asian women actually. So we have a lot of concepts that thinking, okay, I have to do this, I need to do this, and it is my responsibility, and all sort of things. So you need to judge those things in an unbiased way. Because those, whatever the comes, maybe sometimes it boredom is come there, boredom is there, you don't feel to do anything, but it will go away soon. If you frustrated about it, if you are struggling with that, it will stuck with you a long time. If you accept it and happy about it, it will go soon. That is my experience. Whenever you are struggling with something, that will come again and again. When you accept it and, okay, now I feel bored. I can't, I don't do anything. It is maybe my responsibility, but I can't do this. But I have to accept it. If you do that, the mind, most probably mind will drift away soon. But if you ruminating it again, thinking again and again, blaming yourself, so you are blaming to your mind. Just imagine. Whenever you blame to yourself, that means you are blaming to your mind. So when you blame to your mind is like a stubborn child. Just imagine a stubborn child. How will he behave when you punish?
Yes, man, you understood. Thank you much, Marius.
I understand. I mean, there's a lot of responsibility in our lives, isn't it? And multiple roles we have to play. And I don't know, from a practical point of view, man, your delegation. Should we be delegating some of our responsibilities to others, and maybe from a practical perspective, reducing the unmet expectations we have as well, society's expectations or family or whatever towards us, and our own expectations of ourselves, isn't it? That's what we're trying to.
I think in my talk also I said that having a environment, good environment, well balanced environment. Yeah.
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks, Panchami, for that question. We've got one more hand up, Shamila. Namantha, do we have time for more questions? Yeah. Go ahead, Shamila.
Yes, thank you. Just adding on to that, I'm also having this feeling of guilt whenever I do my mindfulness practice, because as a mother, as a wife, as a working person, that is the problem I have always, adding on to what you all were discussing. So isn't it that guilt that is preventing us from being more mindful and being sort of into the practice? Now, even to find half an hour's time to practice, I feel guilty, Manu. I feel that I am letting go of my children, my career, what I can do at that time. So it is a constant struggle. Can you just explain it further going forward?
Yeah, I was a mom. I was a working woman. I was a wife. So I know all those situations, and so then one more thing I need to add, Anupama, then remember I said it is a gradual process. So when you practice more and more, does the Dhamma comes forward. Then you have that personality. That you will develop that personality to balance all those situations. It comes gradually, naturally. So you don't need to suffer about thinking about it. So that's why I said in my talk, you need to have a balanced environment. So you can teach, you can train your children to do their work. They can make their lunchbox. They can clean up their lunchboxes. So likewise, there are plenty of things you can ask from other people who are living with you. So likewise, you need to change the environment. It should not be in a drastic way, but in a gradual movement. If someone can feel it, the other people who are living with you, if they feel like that, it is not good. So it should be a gradual process. So with the gradual process, you develop your personality as a mindfulness practitioner, as well as you develop others' personality to survive in this society. Just imagine I have a daughter. So when I left for ordination, she even just passed out from the university and just started her work. So she haven't been a married one even that time. But she is the one first said, okay, if a mom wants to do that, we should support her. So that is not a all of sudden thing. It is gradually developed. So what I wanted to say, don't worry about what is happening right now. Just face what is happening. Just try to understand. It is the one. It is the suffering actually. So even though we have nice things, that 80% of us, the 80% of thinking is related to suffering. That is the way our mind is working. So that is how mind gives us the suffering. So all those things, whatever you said, it is, I just believe and I know that the responsibility is there, but don't take it as a burden. If it is a burden, you are not living. And the other people who are with you you are not living also. You are not living and the other people around you are also not living. So what we need to do, we need to live. Sukhi attanam pariharahami. Whatever we had life as a life now, we need to live. We need to use it in a sophisticated way. Not in suffering, not as a something to suffer. So out of, you might, maybe you miss some work. Maybe you can't keep it in a tidy way like before because you are bored or you don't feel to do those or something. So, but don't take it as a something to suffer. Just accept it is as it is. Yes. Before I did, now I can't. Now I am not having feeling to do that. So what? The only thing is need to be happy. So you need to be happy.
Yes, ma'am, you're very clear. Thank you. Much merits.
Thank you, ma'am, for that very interesting and practical and relevant discussion. And thank you to everyone for your contributions and asking questions or making comments. I think that is the conclusion of the Q&A session. I'll now hand over to you.
Thank you very much and much merits, Nupama, for conducting throughout in the Q&A session, and much merits and a great thank you to Venerable Manu for such insightful advice, and also the discussion came to a very nice practical topic that even I have been facing for the last 3.5 years almost. So thank you for contributing to this discussion from all the participants who voiced out. It is a very relevant topic. Sometimes what helped me, might help would be to communicate with your family members that you are going through in this stage, in this phase, because you are a practitioner of the Dhamma and you might not have the vibrant energy that you had previously, because you are going more towards reflection or inward reflection, which might slow you down a bit because your mind is allowing more capacity for mental wisdom to be built up within you. So maybe communicating would help you, and monitoring and maintaining your energy levels by going for walks or outdoor walks or outdoor activities might help. Those are what helped me somewhat. Furthermore, there is a very important announcement that, and thank you, Sonali, for highlighting that this session will not happen next week because Nisaramane is hosting a global mindfulness summit. So all the venerable Manio will not be able to participate in this session. She will be occupied with other work, and the same for Bhante. So we will be cancelling next week's session, and we will be meeting the week after. Because we are slightly over time on the time perspective, we will move on to wrap up the program. I would like to associate all the great merits gained from this exercise today to Venerable Manio Rohini for such insight and depth of commitment in the insight delivered to us throughout the program. We wish you all the best of health and long life and fruitful journey in the path of mindfulness, where all your objectives are fulfilled in the speediest manner possible. Thank you, Manu. And furthermore, we would like to wish these merits to be accumulated with the Most Venerable Bhante Udaya Irigama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisaramane Monastery, who has insightfully requested this program to be formulated and maintained, and we wish him all the best of health and good luck in his endeavors for reaching the pinnacle of mindfulness. I would also like to share all these merits gained with the organizers of this program who are working behind the scenes, some days are logged into the Zoom session, some days not logged into the Zoom session, but they are always doing some tasks in the background. We wish you the happiness and prosperity in the path of mindfulness, and also wish you all the best of health and mindful practice. Furthermore, I would like to thank and mention the gratefulness for all your presence in the Zoom session today, and especially for voicing your thoughts in the question and answer session, adding value to the program. Thank you, and much merits to you. And we all wish you best of health and fruitful journey in the path of mindfulness and great wisdom. So, as I said earlier, the program will not be running next particular Saturday, which is, I think, next Saturday it will not be there. We will meet again on the following Saturday after 2 weeks. So, I wish all of you a happy and mindful 2 week period until we meet again. And if you can, please go on to the Nisaramane website and try to register for the Global Mindfulness Summit, and potentially try to take part in that. It is an online event. If you register, you can do that as well. I will just see if I can get a link to that registration into the Zoom chat section. Okay, I found the link finally. Thank you for your patience. I will just put it in the Zoom chat section. You can go into this. And on the Satipasala website, which is www.satipasala.org, you can see the summit registration link, and you can register yourself and log in online whenever you have the time and if it matches your schedule. So thank you so much, everyone. And we will meet again in 2 weeks. And I will end the Zoom session now. All the best with your mindfulness focus.